Hey, welcome everybody. Today you are listening to Pop Sub, which is with myself, Christopher Furman, and my compadre, James Fryer. And we're just here to kind of talk about what's new this week in entertainment and media, but not necessarily. This week, we're going to talk about a show we've seen that caught our eye.
Hello, Christopher.
Hello, James. I'm so glad to be here again today.
Super. We're talking about Ted Lasso.
Yeah. How did you find this show? Because I had never heard of it. Maybe I've seen the ads, but just because the ads start with somebody's name, I kind of dismissed it. So how did you find it?
It was a very popular issue this past year. A lot of people were commenting on it, and a lot of people saying it was their favorite show of the year. A lot of people saying it's a favorite comedy they've seen. A lot of the people I follow have been talking about it. So I was kind of interested in it. I happened to buy a new Mac, so I got Apple TV Plus for free. And then I watched it.
The show stars Jason Sudeikis. And that name sounds Greek to me. Well, you told me to watch it, and
it was getting a lot of buzz.
Okay, so I watched it based on what your recommendation. And when I first watched it, I was sitting there looking at how it was all starting. And I was like, oh, it's going to be one of these comedies where just everything goes wrong and you feel bad for the guy. Kind of like a Adam Office. Sandler. You know how those Adam Sandler films are all like, you just feel bad for the guy the whole time?
I didn't really get that right off the bat. It sounded kind of the opposite way. This is also a remake.
So, right. So, it originally started off as a commercial for NBC Sports back in 2013.
Yeah.
Which is basically a very popular soccer league. They call it, obviously, football in the UK. I mean, it's got a huge, huge, long name.
Okay.
Here's the actual name. The legal name is the Football Association Premier League Limited. The Brits actually often just call it EPL.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I started watching it, and I'm going to carry on through the rest of the episode. You know, I want to at least, you know, judge it for the full episode. I'm not just going to turn it off for the first 5 minutes. And I got sucked into it. I mean, majorly sucked into it. And I did something I don't normally do, but I do it once in a while. I completely...
Oh, boy.
I binge watched the whole thing. And I figured it was a typical European... 8 episodes, and I figured, well, that's not too late at night. I'll be wrong, as you pointed out.
It's 10 episodes. Yeah, you misled me. You made me think it was 8 because you kept complaining how all these new shows are just 8. So then I scheduled myself to do 8, and then last night as I was finishing up, I was like, wait a second, it hasn't finished, and clearly there's more stuff, and they're trying to autoplay the next episode. So yeah, I had to do a little binge watching myself, and as I have complained before, I don't like the idea of binge watching, and I loathe the idea of binge watching. You made me do it, and I hate it. Can we just start off by saying a couple things? First of all, watch the show first. If you're worried about spoilers, we're going to spoil our way, so don't worry about it. And the show is about an American football coach who goes over to England to now coach a quote soccer team. You know, they call it football over there. I don't want to get into the discussion of football versus soccer, though, naming or sports, because that's like 10 episodes of a podcast. So, but that's the setup.
Yeah. So the main character is this guy by the name of Ted Lasso. And as you said, he's an American football coach, and he gets drawn over there because he's trying to give his wife a little space. And we all know how that works.
So you think it was, you mentioned another show that you think it was based on, Premiere?
No. So Jason Sudeikis was on SNL, Saturday Night Live. He was on there for about 8 years, I believe. And when he left, he had done this promo that we just talked about. But he had done on Saturday Night Live a skit with a yelling coach, which wasn't quite the same. This was a completely new development.
Basic premise of this. So he goes over this football team, this soccer team in England to coach them. The owner, who is a new owner, is the divorcee of the former owner. The new owner is a woman, And let me just stop there for a second. That woman, I don't think I've ever been sexually intimidated before by a woman, but that woman was so amazing and so big and just so powerful. Like, I was like, I would just fold in if I was in a room with her. She was so powerful.
Have you ever been sexually intimidated by a woman? Right, and we're talking about the owner of the team, right?
Yes.
And we're talking about Hannah Waddingham.
Yes. The new owner of the team.
Yeah. I feel that way. And well, if you watch all the series, as an actress, amazingly talented.
Yeah.
I mean, she can sing, she can dance, she can carry a soft part, she can carry a brutal part. I mean, amazing. Totally. The acting in this show is amazing.
So getting back to my point about what the whole plot of the series is, that she's trying to destroy the team because she hates her ex-husband. It was her ex-husband's team, and this is the only thing that he really cares about. And so she hires this American football coach thinking that it's going to go disastrously for them. And I think that was the premise of Major League. If I'm getting that wrong, it was a movie. Do you remember there was a baseball movie in the 90s, I think, where the movie in the 90s.
Totally right, except everything takes place in Cleveland, and this is kind of a two-country sabotage deal.
Okay. Well, yeah,
it's all very confusing, but if you watch the Apple show from the beginning to the end, it's a good show. I really loved it. And the thing is, I don't normally like movies where terrible things happen to the main character. Like I said, the whole Adam Sandler setup, you know, where just one bad thing after another happens and there's a victory at the end. This is not Ted Lasso.
Right. It's not, because terrible things. I mean, they're funny things, but they're not generally, there are some, you know, poignant moments, but it was not terrible. So you fell in love with it pretty quickly.
By the end of the first episode, I'm like, oh, I have to watch the second episode, see where this is really going. And
that's
then,
interesting.
The arc was just, the characters were slowly changing. Well, normally characters change slowly over a couple seasons. These characters start off slowly changing, and then all of a sudden it is gets faster and faster, and their character keeps changing. And it's, well, what happens basically is the main character, Ted Lasso, you learn about his character through these very micro successes he has.
And failures. So, yeah, I was much more ambivalent about the first episodes. Like, first episode, I could see, you know, this is a beautifully crafted show from beginning to end. You know, the cinematography, the acting, the directing, everything seems to be on point. I'm not feeling it for it.
Oh, you don't like the show at all?
I didn't say that. I said the first episode didn't really have me hooked at all.
Okay.
The first time I felt really hooked, I think it was the third or fourth episode. They start off with an Elastica song, and I'm like, okay, that's it, I'm in. Well, it wasn't quite like that, but that really, it got their foot in the door.
Well,
and then slowly by the time, and I'm still, you know, I'm watching every episode, and I'm interested, but it's not overwhelming. This isn't like my favorite show, even though I can respect it as very, very well crafted. But then there's the pinnacle, you know, when it reaches its crescendo at episode 10, and then I'm all in. I mean,
I see.
It's kind of a slow build, and then episode 10 is really a masterpiece.
Well, the thing is also is, I'm not a big sports guy. I like watching live sports. I like playing sports, but sitting on a Saturday with a bowl of chips and some salsa watching games all day is not really my most favorite thing.
Right.
But I do love playing sports. And so what I really loved about this is, even though the whole backdrop is sports, that's really not the story. The story is this connection between people, the players, or the lack of connection between people.
But all the TV shows and movies that are about sports are always about the people, because you can't really do sports the whole time. You just watch a game, right? So I don't really think it's that far off of most, you know, sport type entertainment. I will say I was not interested in soccer before this, and I am still not interested in soccer after this. I do not watch sports. I enjoy sports if I can participate in them, but soccer is just too slow. I tried. I did try, but it
failed. Well, there's that one show, that one British show that we both like called The It Crowd, where Moss gets wrapped into these group of guys and gets stuck at a soccer game. Yeah. And he's like, look at the guy. He is kicking the ball. Oh my God, that guy is also kicking the ball. And look at there. You have it. That guy's kicking the ball.
You need to get this accent a little bit. I shouldn't try his accent, but you know, he's much more robotic. It's like, oh, that guy's kicking the ball. Oh, now that guy is kicking the ball. No, that was terrible.
James, I don't do voices. Obviously.
I think a big point, I don't want to bring politics into this too much, but I think a lot of the reason the people I was following that were so into this is because it seemed like Ted Lasso's the perfect foible for the past year, since the former president was Trump. And Ted Lasso is just this amazingly supportive, giving person, as opposed to Trump, who is, as soon as you cross him, he burns you at the stake. So it was, I think there was some of that. It was really well timed for, a lot of the more liberal minded people to be able to really sink their teeth into this one.
Well, and it's interesting you say that, because this goes back into the human part of this storyline. Is Ted is kind of a tough guy with a soft voice.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's tough, but he's so giving. I mean, and I think that's, it really belies his toughness. He gives so much, and that is not an easy thing to do. That's where the real toughness comes from. Just putting yourself out there and keep giving and giving and giving. It's so much easier just to shut it off and to not let anyone in, and then just to, try to be the hard man all the time. And that's not the tough man. That's not the real tough man. That's putting yourself out there and doing the work and trying to support other people is the tough part. Because there's a lot of emotional investment in that.
And that's what also makes this television series unique, in the fact I haven't seen a television show ever that talks about the touchy-feely soft side, unless it was children involved. And this is definitely not a children's show. I would not recommend this for young people.
What age are you talking about?
Well, this is definitely, I would say, late teens to 20s would be the start of this show. I wouldn't recommend this show for little kids. There's a little bit of foul language, isn't there?
Oh, a little bit, yeah. But, they won't understand most of it because it's British slang. Part of the jokes are, Ted's like standing around, people are basically yelling obscenities at him, and he's like, what was that? What does that mean?
Well, there's the whole wanker thing that keeps going on, and then of course they have to do the wanker symbol, and so that's what I mean. I wouldn't recommend this for kids, small kids.
Yeah, you may have a point there. I mean, I don't think there's any problem with the 13-year-old watching it. The only hesitation I would have is, the more mature you are, the more you're gonna understand it and appreciate it. And on that level, that might be why it took me so long to get into the show. Is I may not just be mature enough to appreciate this show.
Well, James, you usually accuse me of not being the mature one. So what's going on?
I guess you are when it comes to filmmaking and things of that nature, or maybe just emotions and humans. I am a more mature robot. You may be a more mature human, so, whatever. So I think what I really liked about the performances were so good, and I'm going to say a line here that doesn't really sound funny, but when the actor said this in the scene he said it in, it made me almost fall off my chair. So if you can imagine this really kind of droll sentence being done so funny that it makes you fall off your chair, then you get a sense for the show. And the line is, does my face look like it's in the mood for shape-based jokes? That kind of sums up the show in a way, because that's in itself, okay, that's kind of funny, but the show takes it and spins it and crafts it in such a beautiful way that it's quite amazing.
I also thought it was kind of funny that they, I don't know how PC this is, but they were kind of poking fun of the British in a very subtle way almost the whole series. They didn't do the typical dry stuff.
Well, it was here and there.
What they did is a lot of
it wasn't terrible. I mean, they weren't trying
to, humor and the bar humor and some other things that the British are typically known for.
I instantly had a sense of relation with Ted Lasso when he just, it was two things actually, beverage related. He hates tea. I don't really get tea.
Oh my God, so funny.
But also, he tries to, he, he takes a drink of, he asks for some water. So they give him some water and he takes a sip of it and immediately spits it out because it's seltzer water. It's like, oh, I didn't expect the bubbles.
Which and, is so funny.
You know, that's, I can't stand seltzer water either. Oh. So me and Ted, I guess, you know, we have a relationship.
That scene was so funny to me because nearly the same thing happened to me. I was in Europe for the very first time and I had always heard how Europeans say our beer tastes like water. And anyway, somebody gave me a seltzer water and the first thing I thought was, God, the water tastes like beer.
Funny thing about the seltzer gag was that they do it very early in the first episode and then it's like one of the last scenes in the last episode. So, you know, they bring it back. They bring the arc home, as they say.
Yeah.
Not anti-British humor, but poking fun at the Brits or, you know, exposing their flaws maybe. I don't know if you caught it, but there was a pretty sick burn on the Queen there. There was one other character was talking about how they really admired J.K. Rowling, the author of the Harry Potter series.
Yeah.
And that they appreciated that they lived in a universe. They didn't say this exactly, but they appreciated that they appreciated her because she was the wealthiest woman in England. And she got that for putting something into the universe, you know, creating something and putting it out there, as opposed to the Queen, who just is the second most wealthy woman in England because of who her family is.
Yeah, and who they killed over the last 2,000 years.
Yeah, it wasn't so bad. Yeah, well, you know,
that's something
to be proud of as well. But, that, you know, and then they made a good joke about 911 versus 999. So
yeah.
Dial 911 when we're... when we need an emergency over there, it's 999. And it's like, well, don't you just get a lot of accidental calls then? Because people just hitting the button, like a kid or a child or a butt dial or something.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, I guess we do get a lot of those. So there were some interesting. As an American watching, an Americanized British show about soccer or football.
And maybe that was one of the reasons I liked it. I get so sick of Americans being the butt of every joke, and this was nice to. Return the volley.
Yes.
I'd like to rate the show and I'm going to give it a 2 thumbs up. That's a 2 thumbs up for me.
2 thumbs up?
Yeah. I have not given it 2 thumbs up yet. I don't know if you know that.
Well, that's why I just asked because I was thinking you hadn't. And well, I'm going to do the same thing, and which is pretty normal. I think I've only given 2 thumbs up so far. And it feels a little bit weird giving this 2 thumbs up and having given Forged in Fire 2 thumbs up. Because they are not the same kind of thing. I mean, this is so much more craft and content in it. Whereas Fortune Fire just made me kind of happy and I was so happy. It was a great show and I guess it's not all equal. 2 thumbs up is, it's hard to make it, put it in its context because like I said, I still stand by my 2 thumbs up for Fortune Fire, but the amount of effort put into it isn't nearly as much as it is on this one. And going up until episode 10, I was ready to give it 1 thumbs up.
Oh, okay. Well, I think we both agree as far as entertainment value, it's all there.
Well, I guess my comedies, the comedies I prefer, I guess this is why it took me so while to warm up to it. I generally like more punchy shows when it comes to comedy. My favorite shows are, I mean, Parks and Rec is probably my all-time favorite comedy, followed by, ironically, I think, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, because you couldn't get two more different shows in tone, right? It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is a really negative kind of ironic thing.
And that's a big show for me too, which
and
brings
Parks and
me...
Parks and Rec is like sunny and happy and
well, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is interesting. We should talk about this in an up and coming episode because Apple Plus also has another show being produced by 2 of the actors and producers of that show.
You have my full intentions now. What show is that?
Or is it out yet? It's called Bump Ba Da Da.
It's called Bump Ba Da Ba. That's a dumb name.
Dun da da da. Mythic Quest: The Raven's Banquet. We have to talk about the show. It is so weird, but funny and very quirky.
Okay. No, that sounds good.
I think if you liked Sunny in Philadelphia, you'll like this show. In fact, let's have our next episode about it. What do you think?
Sure.
All right. I guess we're going to be glued to our Apple Plus for a little bit longer. And that's it for this episode. James, I want to say thanks for meeting me today and another fun day on Pop Sub Podcast.
All right. Thanks, Christopher.
Thanks, James. Talk to you soon.
Pop Sub Podcast has been brought to you by Marcus in Motion. For more information, go to popsubpodcast.com.
Information.
Is it gonna last with the freaky cast?
Wonder where I'm going.
Pops up cast. Pops up cast. Pops up cast.
Pops up
cast. Pops up cast. Pops up cast. Pops up cast. Pops up cast.
So long, you don't even remember what the sun looked like. But you ain't ready to leave those four walls. But you're sure tired of looking at that dim floor. It ugly. And you want something a little more interesting. Well, you should check out Go-Rageous when you want an outrageous floor. We got all kinds of fun patterns like flying monkeys. And some of my favorite, paisleys and bubblegum bottles. We got pizza floor, pepperoni if you like it. If you're still learning how to read, we got alphabet floor. And that ain't spilt soup. We got covered wagons with horsies. We got grapefruit and green grass. Fire trucks and fireflies. We got chickens for your kitchen. Heck, we got a floor to look like you're floating in outer space, staring at a big old Saturn and even possibly Uranus. Keep your mind clean and come on down to Go-Rageous for some Go Outrageous Flooring. Woo-hoo! That's GORAGEOUS.com. See you soon.